Now, today is Quinquesima, I think it's something like that, Quinquesima, the Sunday before Lent. And we look at the account in the Gospels of the Transfiguration, this strange event halfway through Jesus' ministry when he just takes the three of them, James and John and Peter, and go up the mountain and he becomes transfigured, transformed. It's the same word, actually. It's the word, I think I've mentioned this before, because when we had the autofrontal, it's the word that's used scientifically nowadays, metamorpho, which means the total transformation of something. And that's what happened to Jesus as he was up the mountain. Obviously, what's happening here is that Peter and James and John are getting a glimpse of Jesus's glory. They're, if you like, seeing behind the veil. They're seeing Jesus in his totality, not just as a human being, but as the Son of God. And they hear this voice too. They hear the voice from heaven. They hear the Father speaking to them. And it's interesting as you go through the New Testament to realize that God the Father only speaks three times in the whole of Jesus' ministry. Now, Heidi read from us from the Old Testament, from the book of Hebrews, which reflects back to the Old Testament. And it says there, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. So as we go through the Old Testament, God speaks all the time. Well, not all the time, but he speaks quite often to the people. A good chunk of the Old Testament is actually God speaking in the first person. Through the prophets. But in the New Testament, we just have these three occasions where they hear a voice from heaven. They hear God the Father speaking. The first is at Jesus' baptism. And if you look in the grapevine, I put the references there. When Jesus was baptized, you remember he came up out of the water. The Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove. And the Father said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." So there's a real endorsement there at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. At the end of Jesus' ministry, just before he goes to be crucified, in John's Gospel we read that they heard a voice from heaven. Jesus said first, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." And then in the middle, if you like, of Jesus' ministry, we find the Transfiguration. And it says there, as we heard, "Then a cloud overshadowed them," Jesus and Elijah and Moses, "and from the cloud there came a voice, 'This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him.'" Now, I think I want to point out to you there, out of all those statements that God the Father makes, only one of them is actually directed to the people, to the disciples. Only one of them actually tells them to do anything. The rest of them, of those statements that God makes, are about Jesus telling us who he is, the Beloved, the Son of God. But at the Transfiguration, the thing that God the Father says to Peter, James, and John, he says something very simple. He says simply, "Listen to him. Listen to him." Now, Jesus, of course, is the communication of God. He is the revelation of God in human form. Jesus came to earth to reveal the nature of God and to do it in a way that all of us can understand, because he came as a human being. So we look to Jesus, we hear about Jesus, we know the love of Jesus in our hearts, and through that we understand, as far as we can, as limited, fallible human beings, the nature of God. Jesus reveals everything about God that we can possibly know as human beings. And of course he does it as a human being. Jesus is God's revelation of himself to us. A great Bible teacher I found very helpful says it puts it this way: Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus is perfect theology. What he means by that is that everything that we can know about God, theology is, if you like, the science of God, what we can know about God. Everything we can know about him is uniquely there in the person of Jesus. But it isn't just what he came to do, it is also what he came to say to us. And that's why the Gospels are so important. In our tradition, we stand to hear the Gospel being read week by week. And in some sense, it can become just a ritual. But what I think behind it is that the idea that the Gospels do actually reveal to us the person of Jesus as recorded by those who knew him directly. And therefore, they are something that is of extreme importance to us. And that to stand and to hear the Gospels read is actually a good idea, as long as we're not getting tired, as long as it's not becoming a ritual. Because it's saying to us, as we hear the voice, the words of Jesus repeated from the pages of the Gospels, we're actually getting directly in touch with the nature of God. So that's why it is a valuable thing to do, to listen carefully to what Jesus said. And that's exactly what the Father told Peter, James and John, and what he's telling us to do. But Jesus does continue to speak today. And I know I've said this a number of times, but I feel this is a really important message that the church needs to grab hold of. As we go through the rest of the New Testament, we do hear Jesus speaking. The example I particularly remember is obviously Paul's conversion. You know, Paul on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus met the risen Jesus, and you know, Paul was blinded. But Jesus actually spoke to him and said, because Paul says, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to him, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Because Paul was persecuting the church, the body of Christ. So Jesus continues to speak today. And I honestly believe from my own experience and from the experience of many other people, it's hearing Jesus' voice for ourselves, hearing his word for me, okay, is the thing that really transforms our lives. It is really good to keep repeating and hearing over and over again the words that we can take from the Bible. It's good to share other people's experience of the risen Jesus. But ultimately, each one of us, I believe, needs a word from God for ourselves. And Jesus is only too ready to speak, much more ready to speak to us than we are willing to receive. I'm going to share something that came up quite recently. Bishop Stephen, you know, the Bishop of Colchester, who's my boss's boss, sent an email round, as he does. They're called Ad Clarium. It's a kind of circular email or used to be a letter that was sent round by the diocesan bishop every so often to all the clergy. And in this letter we got, or this email we got, he introduced something called the Pilgrim Catechism. Now, you know, a catechism is something, it's kind of question and answer session that's used to kind of teach people. Perhaps some of you, when you went through confirmation classes, you learnt your catechism, and there's a catechism, I think, in the prayer book. So Bishop Stephen has introduced a new catechism he calls the Pilgrim Catechism. And I picked this up and I thought, well, this looks interesting, this might be useful. But then I started to read it, and the first line actually grabbed me, and I felt really prompted to write to Bishop Stephen to say where I think perhaps there's another step that he needs to help us all to take. And we do look to our bishops and to our leaders to help us in this things. So let me read you the email that I wrote to him. I wrote to him, "Thank you for your recent Ad Clarium. In it you introduced the Pilgrim Catechism. I'm sure many people will find this helpful, but I would just like to make one point. In the first line," this is really the first line, "there is this question and answer. Pilgrim, what do you seek? And the answer is, to follow in the way of Jesus Christ. Pilgrim, what do you seek? To follow in the way of Jesus Christ." That's the starting point. And you think, okay, that sounds reasonable, not certainly very biblical, very very within the historic formularies of the Church of England. But I just wanted to write back to him and say to him, so I carried on writing, Jesus said 20 times in the Gospels, follow me. He even said he was the way. I believe our job in ministry is to help people to know him and to hear him for themselves. I appreciate that for many reasons, a package solution like this catechism to living the Christian life may seem preferable. But Jesus' words to the Jews are for us also. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Please do not think I'm just picking at words. The foundations of what we do and teach are crucial to the kingdom of God. A diocesan initiative on helping people to hear the voice of the Master could be what's needed to bring his transforming presence into our churches. So that was what I wrote to Bishop Stephen. I tried to make it fairly compact. He's a very busy man. I didn't want to give him a lot to read. And he's very kindly written back to me. Let me read what he said. Dear Richard, thank you for taking the trouble to write. I don't disagree with you at all. The Pilgrim Catechism is just one part of the way in which we will enable people to hear the voice of Jesus calling them and to follow in his way. A catechism is a tool for helping people understand their faith once they have started following, though of course it can also be used in apologetics and in clearing the ground for evangelism. So that's my correspondence. I'm not quite sure how to respond to him, but I do appreciate his willingness to engage. But I really do believe that it's important for each one of us to be willing and ready to hear the voice of Jesus. There's a program on the television at the moment about some vicars. Have you seen it? One of the guys there I know quite well, actually, is the vicar who's in the little town in Shropshire called Much Wenlock. His name's Matthew Stafford. Matthew was doing my ministry appraisal one year. It's probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And so it was doing kind of my yearly assessment. And I can remember sitting in his study, and suddenly some words came out of my mouth, which I realized weren't mine, but I really was Jesus was saying to both of us. And I heard these words. Jesus said, I believe, I want you to live depending on continuous revelation. I want you to live depending on continuous revelation. What that means is that we live on the revelation, that the words that we have from Jesus, but we know that we're always going to get more, that he's always willing to speak to us. And those words to me were really important to help me to realize that Jesus really is involved in our lives and he does want to continue to work with us. So if this makes any sense at all to you, do really consider seriously coming on the Lent course, starting on the 7th of March, because that course is very much about hearing the voice of Jesus for ourselves, not just through each other, not just through the words of the scriptures, but actually for ourselves. So can I really commend that to you as we share together from the 7th of March onwards. Amen.